This morning, we have the privilege of having with us Pastor Billy Kim from Suwon Baptist Church in Seoul, South Korea. This is a congregation that he planted many years ago, before I was born, he told me this morning. The Lord grew it through his faithfulness into a tremendous church, a very bright light in Seoul. At his wife's urging, as I understand it, he did not tell me the story, I got it from inside sources. At his wife's urging, he planted an English congregation inside of his church, and that too grew. And so in that way, it's like Emmanuel, Suwon Baptist Church is a church with two congregations, English and Korean. His wife, Trudy, has been at his side throughout his ministry. He was able to speak to her this morning. She's at home. She did not travel with him. They have three kids, and you can often see the integrity of a pastor in the lives of his family. Billy's two sons are both pastoring as well in South Korea, and the Lord is blessing their ministry. It was at the end of the Korean conflict when it was apparent there was going to be a divide between the North and the South that they started the Far East Broadcasting Company, which has had a profound reach inside of North Korea, as well as through China. It's an incredible gospel witness to those behind that. The Chinese influence, where it's very difficult to get missionaries in much of China even to this day, but particularly North Korea. You know, even South Koreans can't really send missionaries into North Korea, but the Far East Broadcasting Company reaches there and has been an encouragement to the underground church there for decades now. The Lord has blessed Pastor Billy with opportunities to preach the gospel around the world, to Cuba, to all over Central America, even in the United States, to visiting dignitaries, presidents, heads of states that are open to hearing from a Korean evangelist more than an American evangelist. I don't know what to think about that, but it's the truth. And he has definitely leveraged every opportunity the Lord has given him. I mentioned to the congregation last week, I said, we have three services. I don't want to burn you out. And you said, better to burn out than rust out. And I'm thankful you're here this morning for us. It is a privilege in our own congregation to receive you. We received the choir here a few years ago. I know you weren't able to be with them, but we're so thankful they're back with us, and they bring so much joy to our congregation. Pastor Billy, would you please come forward and share with us this morning?
What a great church. What a great congregation. What a great pastor. I have invited you, pastor, next year sometime, about 1 week to come to Korea, because our children have been here twice, and I want to express my deep appreciation for inviting the children's choir. They came here just to one purpose. 140 years ago, Americans sent missionaries to Korea when our nation was on the dark stage. And God has blessed American missionaries 140 years ago. Now we enjoy the Christianity in Korea far beyond our expectation. We have at least 30% of our population is a Christian. The second reason they came here, say thank you, America, for 1950, when the outbreak of the Korean War, when the communists was taking over South Korea, thousands and thousands of American soldiers came and saved our nation. And we have a freedom, and we have a religious freedom, and we have a worship freedom, travel freedom. God has blessed South Korea today, perhaps more than any other nation on the face of the earth. Now we have sent more than 30,000 Korean missionaries around the world to help American missionaries to bring the gospel to the unsaved worlds. That's why they are here. First, 140 years ago, American missionary came, give us the gospel. Second, 1950, when the Korean people were overtaken by communists, and American soldiers came and many of the thousands of soldiers gave their lives to make South Korea free and democratic nation. And these children paid their own way. And they paid their own bill at the Hilton Hotel near Dulles Airport. And we want to help you economy. Lord, I wish you could see the breakfast they eat. I mean, it's a, you can imagine how much these children eat. They're from third grade elementary school to seventh grade. And I want you to know they pay their own expenses, bus, hotel bill, and airplane fare. Only thing FEBC provided, they sang Friday night, 650 children plus over 50 teachers, and about 700 people, they were at Carnegie Hall Friday night. Your former Vice President, Mike Pence, Karen Pence came, gave an invocation and brought word of greetings to our audience. Kennedy Center was packed. It was a free concert. And I want to thank you for letting them come second time. And this is my first time, this great church. And Fonska, Debbie Fonska, she was friend many, many years. And she told us about this church. So I thought about praying. I said, first service, I'm going to give a brief testimony how I became Christian. And second and third service, I'm going to speak about the revival we need. And if you care to stick around, that's a pretty good message, and we love to have you. For 17 years, I have never heard the gospel story. In 1950, during the Korean War, American soldiers came to fight. And my city was bombed 90%. My school was bombed, so I cannot go to school anymore. I was 11th grade. And American soldier moved into my hometown, 24th Division. So many American soldiers like to give their chocolate, chewing gum, ration. So some of us friends went to American base and hoping to get some chocolate candy bar. One of the tall American soldiers called us, and they want us to bring some wood to be burned in the stove while they were working. Because during the middle of December, it was very cold in South Korea. So I brought some pile of wood, and one of the sergeants gave us a chocolate, gave us a ration, gave us soap, and gave us chewing tobacco. And I thought that was a pretty good wage. So I didn't go to get some wood to be burned in our home. So we went to American base again next morning. Tall sergeant called me and said, bring some more wood. So I brought more wood. He wanted me to watch the stove while they were working. So we put a lot of wood in the stove. And I saw their mess kit where they have their chow. They're still not clean. So I heat some bucket of water and I wash all their mess kits. I saw their sleeping bags and their blankets just wadded in the one corner. So I took it, dust the blanket and sleeping bag and put it out in the sun. I saw their boots, that's all mud, so I shined the boots. Sergeant said, you come every morning at 8 o'clock. So I got a job as a houseboy at United States Army camp. So about 1 week or so, North Korean coming down, Chinese volunteer army was coming down. They were retreating to south, and one of the soldiers said, can you go with us? I said, let me go get permission from my mom. So I dashed to my house. Mom, I'm going to go with American soldiers, learn some English. She said, if you want to get killed, go. I've never heard being killed, but I heard the go. So I ran, got in the back of the big truck. We drove all the way to approximately about 200 miles below Daegu. And we pitched our tent, and I started my work at the houseboy. One day, I met Sergeant Carl Powers from Virginia. He asked me a question. Would you like to go to America? The dream of every teenager, they want to come see this great nation. And I had no inklings about not going to the United States. So I said, if you take me, I will go. One day he showed me a copy of Bob Jones University application. And he asked me to sign right here. So I signed my name. He filled everything in there and sent it to Bob Jones. 3 months later, I get acceptance letter from Bob Jones University and the detached academy there. So when the application was accepted and they said, we want to have him come to our school, I got scared. And I told Sergeant Carl Powers, I will not go. He said, why? I'm small. My mother will not let me go. I cannot speak enough English to go to school in the United States. Sergeant Powers said, if you go to America, drink a lot of milk and eat a lot of cheese, you'll grow up. He said, you go to America, you could learn to speak English. And he said, I'm going to go to your house, get permission from your mom so you could go. So he's got a Jeep, got an interpreter, and asked me to get on the Jeep, and that Jeep came to our house. The whole neighborhood came. Sergeant Powers, the interpreter, my oldest brother, they were talking through interpreter. Sergeant Powers said, I'd like to take your boy to give him an education and send him back. My mother was, I'm the last child. I was born when my mom was 43 years old. So my mother said, I'm too old. What about if I don't get to see him come back? Sergeant Powers looked at my mom. He said, I believe you'll live 15 more years, and he'll be coming back after he finishes education. When Sergeant Powers told my mother, you're going to live 15 more years, she didn't ask any question. Go ahead and take him. Make a long story short, got my passport and visa, and Sergeant Carl Powers paid $408 on a boat. Then he gave me $100 to go United States. Then he gave me a name tag here, to whom it may concern. Send this boy to Route 1, that box 75, Dent, Virginia. Didn't have a zip code those days. So I put that label in my army uniform. I got on the boat from Busan port. It took almost 3 weeks to come to San Francisco. When our boat landed in San Francisco, I saw two soldiers waiting for me and below the dock there. I was Lieutenant Heim. He was at my company, and I remember him so well because every night they poker. And I had to buy egg and make some scramble. And then they just joined the Korean War. They want to forget about the war. So they were playing poker, they were drinking, sometimes they were swearing. And I did all the chores for the American soldiers. So he waited for me at San Francisco, Lieutenant Heim. So I went through all the immigration process. Lieutenant Heim took me to his home, and they start talking back and forth with the Sergeant Carl Powers' home in Virginia. I want to go, very anxiously wanted to go to school. They start talking back and forth on the telephone. and Sergeant Powers' home said, "We are ready, send him." So Lieutenant Haim took me to the bus depot, tried to buy a ticket to go to Virginia. Ticket agent looked at me, asked Lieutenant Haim, "Can he speak English?" And Lieutenant Haim said, "I don't think he speaks too much English." I thought I spoke English, but only English I learned from American soldiers, a swearing word. So I couldn't do much, and the bus ticket agent said he has to change bus on a several places in the United States before he gets to Virginia. So they won't sell ticket unless somebody accompany him. So Lieutenant Haim took me to train station, and they almost said the same thing. So we came home. Lieutenant Haim asked me, "How much money you have?" I have $130 in my pocket. Sergeant Power gave me $100. I saved $30 from American soldiers. And Lieutenant Haim said, "That's not enough to fly across the United States." He thought for a moment. He said, "You look small enough to be 11 years old compared to American children. At that time, you're under 12, you get half fare." So he said, "You stay home, I'll get your airplane ticket." In those days, you could do that. Security wasn't not that bad. So he got me ticket, $78, crossed from San Francisco to Cincinnati, Ohio, on a TWA airline. I guess I got half price. I think that's why TWA closed the shop. So I got on the airplane, and Lieutenant Haim said, "If they ask you how old you are, just tell them you don't understand English." Somebody asked me, "What about if they saw your passport? They know how old you are." I said, "They don't know how old I am, because we don't use 1934. See, I was born 1934. This is 2024. I am 90 years old. So my passport, they don't use 1900s. We use a Korean calendar. My birthday was 4,267, July 25. It's all in Korean and Chinese. No American tourists could understand my passport. So I got off at San Francisco. I got on San Francisco, got off at Cincinnati, Ohio. Sergeant Carl Powers, older brother, was going to school in Cincinnati. And he's studying undertaker. So he picked me up, took drive about 9-10 hours to Virginia. I met Sergeant Carl Powers there. I met his mother and father, brand new family. Sergeant Powers took me down to Greenville, South Carolina, where I'm supposed to go to school. When we went to registrar asked me, "Let me see your school record." I said, "I don't have any school record. My school was all bombed during the Korean War, and that's the best thing ever happened during the Korean War. They bombed my school, all my school records are gone, my English and my mathematics. Very low score." I said, "I don't have any." "What grade were you in?" I said, "I started 11th grade, just the beginning." So they said, "Well, we'll put you in the 9th grade. If you don't get it at 9th grade level, we'll drop you down to 8th grade. If you don't get it at the 8th grade level, we'll drop you to 7th grade. That's all they have, 7th grade. And Sergeant Power registered me, paid my school bill. He said, "Good luck," and goodbye. He went home. I was left there all by myself. Everything's in English. I didn't understand English. I got so homesick. I wish I never left Korea. But one day, ministerial student came to my dormitory room. He opened his Bible, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I don't really understand, but he explained. But I had one question. If I accept Christ, would it take away my homesickness? I was so homesick, I cried every day. He said, not only take away homesickness, he give you peace, he give you joy, he give you happiness, he give you everlasting life. And I told him, soon as he said, he'll take away your homesickness, I said, I want to accept Christ. He said, let's kneel down to receive Christ. And we both kneeled down in our bunk bed. He asked me to pray. I never prayed before. I've never heard anybody praying. I said, I don't know how to pray. He said, can you pray it in Korean? I said, I'll try. Lord, I'm a sinner. 하나님, 나는 죄인입니다. 내 죄를 용서해 주시고 제 마음에 돌아오라고 기도를 하고 나니까 Mr. Jerry Major, his ministerial student, he prayed. And when we got through praying, we stood up, he hugged me, he said, if you truly receive Christ as your Savior, you're born again, you're a child of God. Sure enough, whole world's changed. All the homesickness vanished. I have a peace in my heart. My first semester, everything failed. They should give me F, but the teacher thought if this boy get an English, he'll make it all right. So they give me a D. Everything my report card, first semester, was a D. Second semester, after I accepted Christ, the Lord helped me to be honor students on second semester. God has put in my heart the purpose in life, why I came to United States. I want to study political science and go back to Korea, become a politician, because my family is so poor. I know if I go into the politics, I don't have to eat barley the rest of my life. I know I could eat white rice, so I was preparing after graduating from academy. I want to go study political science, go back to Korea, at least become a congressman, or at least one of the cabinet members. I study hard, finish high school. God began to deal with me. He said, your country, without you, there's so many politicians, they don't need you. But I need you to take this gospel to your family. None of my family ever heard the gospel. They have not become a Christian. So I began to pray, and God called me into the ministry. So I went to Bob Jones University to study for the ministry. And I'm ready about mid-2028. There's not a single Korean girl, said Bob Jones. One day, speculation, there's one Korean girl coming to study at Bob Jones. I got very excited. When she came, she was 43 years old. Old May came. I said, she's not for me. And there's a little girl waiting at my table, very short, coming from Michigan, and we sit eight of us in the table, and soon as the food is all gone, she run in the kitchen, got some more food, very rapid, very fast. I thought to myself, if I marry that girl, I never go thirsty. But she was dating Bob Jones III, the president's son, and any campus president's son is dating some girl, you don't have a chance. So one semester later, they broke up. And I said, oh, this is my chance. I moved in. We dated 4 years. And we got married and decided to go to Korea. Korea was very poor. But I know God wants us to go back to Korea. Tell my family about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We went back to Korea end of 1959. First thing I did, I witnessed to my mom, and she come to trust Christ. My oldest brother, second brother, third brother, and my sister, they all have a big family. One by one, they come to trust Christ. I have many nieces and nephews. They all open their heart to receive Christ. Now, Kim family, everybody became a Christian. I have a lot of nephews and nieces. They went to Bible school, seminary. They become a missionary. They become a preacher. They marry preachers. So Kim family's entire family has a complete transformation to become Christian. And what a joy it was that God has prepared them to become Christian and through their youngest son. Sergeant Carl paid my way to the school, Academy, University, Graduate School. I went back before I went back to Korea. Sergeant Powers, how can I repay you back what I owe you? He said, you don't have to pay me. But if you go back to Korea, tell you people about Christ, tell them about the freedom, democratic form of government, you will be paying fourfold what I did for you. Went back. Several years later, before I went back to Korea, I came to Sergeant Carl Power's home. At the back porch, I talked to him about the Lord coming into my heart. Sergeant Power said, you know, I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. I want to accept him. So back porch of his house, he opened his heart, received Christ as his Savior. 1978, my oldest son, Joseph, was going to Bible school here in the United States. I took our whole family to Holy Land. I want him to experience the Holy Land. And I wrote Sergeant Carl Powers. He was a junior high homeroom teacher in his hometown. I said, Carl, our family is going to go Holy Land. During the Christmas holiday, if you could come, I'd love to spend 1 week with you, with our family. And he wrote me back, I have never been baptized. If you promise me you will baptize me at River Jordan, I will come. On the Christmas Eve, 1978, Sergeant Carl Powers came to Tel Aviv. We went out to pick him up, brought him to Jerusalem. Next morning, Sunday, we went all the way to the near Sea of Galilee where the Jordan River starts. There's a great big baptismal pool. I took Sergeant Powers to baptize. The man went beyond the call of duty of his own country, befriend to a houseboy, brought him in this country. He became a pastor. And I was taking Sergeant Powers into the baptismal pool. Truly, Joseph, Mary Kay was watching at the riverbank, and I was walking them through. Our youngest son, John, he was 11 years old at that time. He said, Dad, I have never been baptized. I want to be baptized with Uncle Carl. I said, come on in. As I stood there, baptized the soldier that who meant so much to me, I baptized him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then I baptized John, and I brought him from the water. My eyes began to stream down the tears. Houseboy that came to United States by Sergeant Carl Powers. And so I have the privilege of baptizing. And what a joy it was to conclude our life together. But 8 years ago, Sergeant Powers died. He never married because he has a responsibility of this houseboy, get his education, send him back to his country because he promised my mother that he will come back to you see him. And What a joy it was that our life come together. So soon as I heard he passed away, my oldest son Joseph, who's pastor, we flew to Virginia, and I did the entire funeral for Sergeant Powers, who meant so much to me. And yesterday, on the Thursday, we went to the Korean War Memorial, and we brought three flowers, and one for Korea, America Association, another for Defense Association, and one for Sergeant Carl Powers. I mean, took one little houseboy, brought this country, sent him back to his own people, and many hundreds and thousands of people, through his effort, come to know Christ as their own personal Savior. One man went beyond the call of duty to become a friend of a houseboy, and that boy went back. Now he was able to lead his people and his family to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm indebted to American soldiers. I'm indebted to American people because the things they have taught and things they have given, and I want to return back. And I'm so glad a children's choir came twice to this church. And they will be singing tonight at the Central Presbyterian Church at Centerville, the final concert. And they're going to leave on Monday, go back home, and go back to the school. Thank you, Pastor. We love you. We want you to come, and we will pray for this great congregation. May God bless you. May God bless America.
Pastor Billy, if you said the next two sermons were going to be the good ones. So, you know, what an amazing encounter of the Lord's grace in your life. That was part testimony and part kind of a theology of ethics. You know, democracy is good for the world. Religious liberty is good for the world. Freedom is good for the world. But you can advance things that are good for the world and not know the Lord. And in God's kindness, he's used our country to advance things that are good for the world, even through people who don't know the Lord. And I'm sure that there are people here this morning that are Sergeant Powers in that sense, that you're doing things that are good for the world, that are good for our country, but it's worth hearing that story and asking yourself, have you given your life to the Lord? It's so easy to consume our lives with doing good things and overlook the thrust of those good things, which is the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Others of you, I'm sure, are walking with the Lord, and I hope that story encourages you to be somebody else's Sergeant Powers in that sense, to let the Lord lead you in your heart and focus in on a person that you know that doesn't know Christ and reach out to them purposely and with an intent in your mind, going beyond just, you know, here's the gospel, but investing in them. And who knows what the Lord will do 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years from now. Let me pray for us. God, what a privilege it is to hear from Pastor Kim. We are so thankful for our country. I know our congregation is filled with those who are missing family members. Parents and grandparents, great-grandparents who gave their life in the Korean conflict. We're thankful for the sacrifice that so many people have made for the good of the world. It certainly reminds us of John 3:16 that God gave his only begotten Son for, in that language, the good of the world, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We're thankful for the greatness of the gospel. It is news that is big enough and transcendent enough to encompass the whole globe, to go across language divides. It's also news that is personal enough to change an errand boy's heart. Gospels big and small, Lord, we pray the gospel would enlarge our hearts with faith. We pray that even this morning. We're thankful for our time together. Pray for anyone here this morning that has never trusted you with their life. I pray this morning you would open their heart. They would turn to Jesus Christ, crucified for sinners, resurrected from the grave, the only atonement for sin. We're thankful for him. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
And now, for a parting word from Pastor Jesse Johnson.
Thanks for joining us. If you're in the Washington, D.C. area, I would love to see you at Emmanuel Bible Church. For more information on our church or our current service times, go to ibc.church. For more information about the Master's Seminary and their Washington, D.C. location, go to tms.edu. I hope this resource has been a blessing to you, and it helps you seek the Lord daily, serve others around you, and share the gospel with boldness.